Hello, everybody, and welcome to Walking for Water Teen Action on KXFM. My name is Cassidy Morgan, and I'm a member of the Laguna Beach branch for Walking for Water. Walking for Water is a club that partners with Wisdom Spring to build wells and educate the people in developing countries. So far, we have worked in Burkina Faso, Ghana, Kenya, and multiple locations in India. This club was started in 2003 in Leesburg, Virginia, after Susan Huff brought Sabam Fusome to speak at Heritage High School, and after she spoke, teenagers came up to her asking, "They walk for water, why can't we?" Every year, Walking for Water holds a big event to raise money. Due to the recent health crisis, we have had to adjust our fundraiser to an online platform. This year, our walk falls on June 19th and 20th, which will feature a virtual walkathon, auction items, videos on the effects of Walking for Water, and more. For more information, go to wisdomspring.org, and to join us on our walk, go to wisdomspring.org/virtual. So on today's show, we have Haley.
Hi, guys.
Marco.
Hello.
And Sophie.
Hi.
So we wanted to start off today's show by telling everyone about our pipeline project, which we mentioned last show. So our pipeline project is going to go up in India, and it's for the Maasai people. This pipeline will help 7,000 people, and it will also help people in Tanzania that are also Maasai, as they will cross the border into Kenya to get water, because the Maasai people in Tanzania don't have water either. It's going to cost $28,000, but it's able to help 7 villages and 7,000 people. And this is the most needed project of Chosen Vessels, which is the organization that we partner with. And we work with a lovely woman who's from San Diego, and she actually lives in Kenya part-time. So that's really cool, and that's a really cool project that we've learned about that we are able to help do. So today we're going to talk about spirituality through the eyes of teens, as we are all teenagers on here. So spiritual belief is a very personal thing. It could be going for a hike. It could be exercising, because just that feeling you get after you're done running is refreshing and exhilarating, and you feel better and a part of something. So our first question for all of you is, what is your spiritual self?
I can start if you want me to.
No, yeah, go for it.
Yeah, because I was kind of thinking when I was like saw this question, I was like, it kind of relates to like what your own personal religion is, and like how, and like for me, like a personal religion is not like, yeah, like I'm a Catholic, but at the same time, like my personal religion is kind of like what I do to keep up my good morals and like the things that I do to like keep myself like in line and keep myself with a good value. So I see that my spiritual self is like the way that I can kind of connect with myself, but also other people in the world through my personal religion.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree. I feel like finding your spiritual self is a spiritual journey in its own. I think that it takes a lot of time, and it's not always, you know, it's not always fun, because you see different perspectives of yourself and different sides of yourself that maybe you hadn't recognized before. And it's a lot of diving into your emotions, which personally I don't like doing that. So it's been it's been good to really dig deep and dive down. And I think that for everybody, there's a different, they can have their own definition of spiritual self, but for me personally, that's kind of what it's been.
I really agree with what Marco said, because my whole life I've been raised as a Catholic. However, I have different morals and beliefs that are slightly different from Catholicism. And I feel like Sophie said, finding your own spiritual self is a journey in its own. And I think that this past year, given the pandemic and given personal circumstances, I've really went on that journey, and through different ways of journaling and reading, I've connected with myself, my spiritual self, even more than I've ever connected with my spiritual self before.
It's really cool. I know when I saw this, I'm like, well, it's when you're healthy, but I'm like, and happy, I'm like, but is that really like your spiritual self? And then I kind of realized my personal definition of it is everything outside of like your body and mind. It's everything else that goes on in your head. And that sounds a little contradictory, but I, unlike Marco and Haley, I grew up going to a very spiritual center. And so it was always just kind of in your daily life, like how do you serve yourself, and how do you provide for yourself and others, and how do you live the happiest, because I feel like your spiritual self is yourself at your happiest point, whatever that looks like. So on the journey to finding your spiritual self, once you've found that, how do you live a spiritual life? Or how do you guys personally incorporate that in your daily lives?
I would say, like, I mentioned, like, my personal religion and, like, keeping myself up to, like, my own standard, my own morals. Like, I just would live a spiritual life by not just, like, and by doing things to always improve myself. And, like, for example, whether that's, like, running, as we said in, like, that little intro, or, like, maybe just, like, taking time for myself to think, or just hanging out with, like, the people that I love. Like, those sorts of things are, like, how I maintain, like, my spiritual, like, center, because that makes me feel happy, and that's, like, how I connect with the world personally.
No, yeah, I definitely agree. Personally, I think that I like to, you know, tend to my spiritual life by surrounding myself with people who I don't have to, instead of, like, them taking energy from me and me receiving bad energy from them, it allows us to, like, share a good and have a good, you know, vibe, you know, a good, just good spiritually. Like, I know that they're good for me, and I know that I'm not losing or not being drained by spending time with them. Also, just kind of staying active is a big part of my spiritual life. It kind of releases stress, and it allows me to focus on one thing instead of stressing about, you know, like, 10 others. So that's my thing.
Yeah, for me, I feel like it's really important for me to disconnect with my social life and school and the internet, and kind of just check in with myself. I try to make it a priority at least 3 times a week to just try to disconnect in a way, whether that be running, meditating, or going for a walk. I just try to connect or disconnect from the world around me and connect with myself, and kind of just check in with myself and ask, like, hey, how am I doing this week? How am I feeling overall this week? What's going on? What's giving me stress? And kind of, like, evaluate, like, oh, I'm feeling stressed, here's why. And I feel like that in itself is what connects me to my spiritual self.
The one word that came to mind for me was balance. And I think it's, to live a spiritual life, it's all about balance and doing and keeping a healthy balance. It sounds quite simple. It's just like, yeah, just keep it balanced. But I know I've kind of experienced myself being like, let's see all the stuff that I can do, and let's see, like, how thin I can stretch myself. And then it's like, you have no time to take care of yourself or to really live in the moment. And so I think that the key to living a spiritual life is balance, because you want to be the best self that you can be, but you also want to be the best self to others that you can be. And so I think that that's where this balance comes in. So Haley and Marco, you kind of already touched on this with journaling and meditating and stuff like that, but what are all of your guys' basic spiritual needs?
For me, I would say I definitely, like, enjoy things like nature, people who I have good relationships with, and keeping myself healthy. So I feel like those three things are, like, really important to keep myself, like, intact spiritually. And they're all really healthy things, in my opinion. So that's why I really like to keep in line with those sorts of things.
I feel like my basic spiritual needs, I think that I tend to focus on how I can help others most of the time instead of trying to assess what I need. So when I think of the basics, I kind of revert to thinking of what everybody else needs and what I can do to make sure that other things in my life that are important, you know, exhibit A, walking for water. But I think that if I were to do, like, a personal check-in on what I would need, It would probably be around making sure that my body is properly nutritioned and I have the energy that I need to play my sport, as well as making sure that I'm assessing all of my different feelings that I've felt throughout the day, because I tend to dismiss them. If I think that they're improper for the situation that I happen to be in. So, that's pretty much my basic spiritual needs.
Yeah, for me, I really resonate with what Cassidy said earlier. I feel like I sometimes try to stretch myself too thin and try to have great grades and make sure I'm giving back to the community and doing well in soccer and, just having a good physique and eating well. And then it all just becomes overwhelming. And when my body just starts to shut down and it feels achy, I think that's when I know that I'm stretching myself too thin and that I need to reconnect with myself and reconnect with my mind and just get more in tune with my spirituality. So I think my basic spiritual need would just be self-care and making sure that I am healthy and happy with what I'm doing in my life.
Yeah, Haley, I'm going to echo on that because I've also felt the achiness when you've re now realize that you've neglected your body. And I know for me, my basic spiritual needs are in a sense just listening to myself. Like sometimes I'll be really tired, but I'll be like, no, you have to push through. You have all these assignments that you need to do and you have all these things you need to do. When in reality, there does come a time where I'm like, you're tired, go to sleep. You'll feel so much better in the morning if you get a good night's sleep, or if I'm just feeling really tired, but I don't really want to do anything. It's like, okay, it's okay to take an hour for yourself and just be and just think. You don't need to constantly be running from event to event or from thing to thing. And I think that that's been super helpful and healthy for me, is the ability to just stop and not do anything and just be, because I feel like that's something that's really important that's maybe not so advertised. It's okay to do nothing. It's okay to just stare into space and think. So I know that's how I take care of myself and my spiritual self. So since we're all teenagers, do you and your peers talk about spirituality? And is it hard to discuss? Are you the one who brings the conversation up, or does someone else bring it up?
You know, spirituality is honestly never something like that's ever brought up in a conversation with me and my friends. Like, I mean, only in the sense that we might talk about like our problems or just like any like the like bad feelings that we're having or anything. But otherwise, I wouldn't say that we like talk about spirituality as like a thing. But like now that I think about it, I feel like it should be important to talk about it, because now that I'm really thinking about it, like, spirituality is important, and like maintaining a good balance and good character is important. That's something that I probably should talk about with my friends.
Yeah, I can agree, Marco. You and I are kind of in the same little pod, you could say. I think it's about the crowd because personally, ever since I was little, I kind of been involved with the spiritual world, you could say. I've kind of dipped my toes in, the water and then decided to jump in. I think that for some people, they have a hard time understanding, that you don't necessarily need to be like Taoist or Buddhist or have like a designated religion in order to be spiritual. And I think that it's kind of difficult for them to begin their spiritual journey because they don't necessarily know how or and there isn't really a correct way or a wrong way to begin your spiritual journey. I just think that personally for my friends, they kind of make fun of it or mock it or be like, oh, like you're doing is it like voodoo, like or is black magic, and like stuff like that. So I think that it depends on the crowd and the level of education that they've had on spirituality.
I think a lot of times spirituality and religion get confused, and that's a part of the reason why it's not brought up in conversations. And, I was always told by my mother, never bring up religion or politics in conversations. And I think that our generation especially has combated those traditional views about what we should and shouldn't be talking about. Like, I think we need to be talking about this. I think it's so relevant in our lives, and especially with everyone's mental health, I think it's such an important subject. But yeah, like I was saying, I feel like it gets really confused with religion when it doesn't, like Sophie said, it doesn't have, you don't have to be religious to be spiritual and to find and to go on your spiritual journey at all. You can, you know, find that in your own ways, and it looks different for everyone.
Yeah, I think that the whole like don't bring up religion or politics at the table is maybe like, let's maybe avoid a fiery argument. But I feel like, yeah, our generation's kind of like, no, let's have that argument. I know for me, a lot of times when I think peers think about spirituality, they think of yoga. And I think that's probably the closest that me and people my age have ever gotten to discussing spirituality is discussing yoga and how yoga makes you feel, which is not bad because yoga is great. I love yoga. But I definitely feel like when people think of like spirituality, they do think of yoga. And that I think that's one avenue definitely for spirituality, but not the only avenue. But yeah, so on that note, we are going to take a break and listen to a song. And this is a song that I love, and it makes me feel so good. I listen to it in my car and I have a little dance party. So here is Hey Childs by Corby on KX.
It started in the summer, it's there till it's dark. Time was never ending, like the rope around our heart. Perfect when the mornings would start over again. Lost was in a world.
we can come back because we'll just fill it in later. So everybody ready? Okay. That was Hey Child by Corby on KXFM. So now we decided that we should let you listeners get to know us a little better, especially, you know, because some of us, you've heard our voices before, and some of us, you haven't heard our voices before. So I want to start with Haley, because Haley, this is her first radio show, and she's actually joining us from the East Coast. So Haley, if you want to talk a little bit about yourself and tell everyone who you are and what you're about.
Hi, guys. My name is Haley. I am a junior, and I live in Virginia. I joined Walking for Water this past year just because I was really interested to see what it was all about. And after our first Zoom meeting with Susan, I became really captivated by the idea and, you know, Walking for Water was all about. And so I was like, yeah, like I'm going to come to these Zoom meetings every weekend and try to help as best as I can. And from there, I think Susan and I really developed a strong relationship off the bat. I see her as a mentor, someone who is, you know, I look up to her more than I looked up to a lot of people in my life. And I think for that reason, I was really captivated by the idea of Walking for Water. I have been helping by leading others on the East and helping my peers to learn more about Walking for Water and how they can help. And yeah, I mean, that's pretty much it. I've done a lot for the app. And I also wrote an article about Walking for Water. And now I'm just trying to collect as many sponsors and donations as I can to support me for the walk.
Wait, so is this your first year in Walking for Water?
Yes, it is.
I did not know that. Wow, you're very, very, that took me by surprise. Well, yes, so thank you, Haley, for coming on today. I know we've been trying to get you on for, like, since the beginning, so I'm really glad we could do it. So we also have Sophie and Marco, who were here last week. But Marco and Sophie, if you guys want to, you know, tell the listeners something about yourself, it can be Walking for Water related or non-Walking for Water related.
Sure. Yeah. So my name is Marco Weems. I'm a sophomore at Laguna Beach High School in California. And I enjoy playing volleyball and going to the beach and surfing and hanging out with my friends. And actually, I would also say I do enjoy Walking for Water a lot, because I love global issues and things that don't necessarily affect me, but affect other people. And I like to be able to help other people and those sorts of things, which is why I love doing Walking for Water. And I would say in Walking for Water, this is my second year. I was a secretary for a bit. And then I've also been mostly adept in getting sponsors and pitching like our slogan to others and getting donations and all those things. So yeah, I really love Walking for Water and everything that we stand for. Like, one of our main slogans is water is life. And I completely agree with that because humans can't go without maybe like 3 or 4 days without water. Like, it's essential. And there are people who just like need to walk most of their day to go get water. And that's something that I never experienced, but it's something that shouldn't be necessary for people to do. So that's why I love to be able to put in wells, and this new pipeline that we're putting in, like, it's going to help 7,000 people get water, and it's only, what, like $28,000? That's totally doable, and that's why I'm here, so I can help those people.
Yeah, I think I texted Marco last night saying, hey, can you come on the radio? And he's like, sure, Cassidy, whatever you need. So Marco's the type of person who it's like, he's always ready to help. And
it's... Thanks, Cass.
Oh, anytime. Okay, so now we're going to talk to the member of Walking for Water who's been in it for longer than all of us combined. Sophie.
Most of you know I met Susan when I was very little. I think I was around maybe 7, 8-ish. I was lucky enough to meet Sabongfu Somme. And she's just kind of, I've just been a part of Walking for Water for as long as I can remember. And I think that it's become, you know, just a part of who I am. I don't think that, you know, when I'm talking to someone about who I am, what I do, I always bring up Walking for Water because it's just something that I fell in love with when I was little. And it's kind of engraved in who I am. I think Marco can vouch on this. I always bring it up whenever I can, whenever, even if it's like, if it has the slightest connection, I'll totally bring it up to my friends and, you know, just let them know how awesome it is to help other people other than yourself. And I think that also that has to do with my spiritual self, because I devote myself spiritually to helping others, and I think that it feeds my soul in many different ways and that it makes me who I am. So that's a little bit about me.
So how many years have you been in it, if you had to give a number?
I would say around 8.
Yeah, that's more than all of us combined, because together me, Marco, and Haley have been in it for 5 years. So Sophie wins.
Yeah, it beat you by a little bit.
Just a little. So for those of you who don't know me, I'm Cassidy. I'm currently a junior at the high school, and this is my second year in Walking for Water. I joined this club because on paper, I read what the club did, and I was like, this is amazing, I have to join. And then I met Susan, and I was like, this lady's amazing, I have to keep going. And here I am. And this has been so fun, and it's definitely been one of the highlights so far of my high school career. So we briefly wanted to talk about another project that we are doing in India. So we are putting in 2 wells in India. One of them is going to go in the northern part of India in a Tibetan refugee camp. And we're putting a second one in the southern part of India. So we're tackling both parts of India. And it's going in a multi-religious village of Christians, Hindus, and Muslims. And there are very few groups of this kind, because for those of you who don't know, there's an extensive caste system socially in India. So to see a multi-religious group is something that's not often seen. And so we want to help them. So we're going to put a well in there. So this is a question for all of you, because I just want to know, can you guys imagine your life without Walking for Water? And do you think you would be a different person today if you didn't join Walking for Water?
Yeah, absolutely not. I cannot imagine what my life would be like. I think I would be really, really boring. I don't think I would be the same person, honestly. I think I'd be like a worse version of myself, I think that's proper to say. Not because like I'm a terrible person, but because it has helped me spiritually awaken in many different ways. And it's like kind of helped me love myself in more ways than one. And I think that I built most of my confidence based on my leadership skills that I've gained from Walking for Water. And I definitely have, you know, learned how to love myself, even the parts that I didn't even like about myself, now I love. And I definitely don't think that I could have done it without the spiritual help that came from Walking for Water, and that came from learning about the cultures and the people that we're helping, and learning about like how we're helping them in more ways than one, you know, not just with water, but with education, and then which allows them to, you know, go off and do whatever they want, fulfill their dreams, things like that. So personally, like, no, I can't imagine what life would be. I mean, I could imagine. I think it would suck if I wasn't a part of Walking for Water. I think it would definitely be, you know, it's just so hard for me to think about, but I'm glad that I am. But that's a good question.
Yeah. Okay. I think I probably could imagine my life without Walking for Water, but it's a life that I wouldn't want to be living for sure. And I just definitely think that if I had never gone into Walking for Water, I would definitely not be the same person I am right now. So definitely Walking for Water has helped me grow as a person, as Sophie said, like awaken spiritually, especially with meeting Susan, who is such a spiritual person, and kind of just like talking with her about different sorts of like spiritual things is just so interesting, because like it's just stuff I've never learned about before or never really talked about, and I just find it so fascinating. And so I'm so happy that I joined the club, because I mean, I gained great leadership, like public speaking, like overall confidence skills that I could not have got anywhere else. And that is why the Walking Forward is so great. You just learn so many things and you get to help people at the same time. And it's just like a win-win-win-win-win experience.
Yeah, for me, I'm a big believer in things that are placed in your life are meant to be there for a reason, or things are happening for a reason. And so I think that it's the same case with Walking for Water. And so I don't think I can imagine my life without Walking for Water. I mean, even though I've only been a part of it for like 4 or 5 months now, it has changed me in so many ways. Like Sophie said, I've learned to love myself in different ways that I didn't love myself in before. I have a completely different perception of the world and of my surroundings. I think about others a lot more than I used to. You know, I used to view volunteering and being of service as, oh, like, you know, this is going to look so good on college applications and blah, blah, blah. And like, no, like I completely don't look at it like that anymore. It, like, although I've helped so much with Walking for Water, like I'd never associate it with like, oh my gosh, like colleges are going to love this. And I just, there's a disconnect there now, and it's a good disconnect. And I think that that was really important for me to realize, because I struggled with that a lot. I struggled with trying to, you know, build that resume, build that, you know, application. And I think now when I'm, even though Walking for Water is a club through the school, I don't associate it with school at all. And so, yeah, I think it has changed my perception and changed my life.
Yeah, I know, similar to Marco, I think I can imagine my life if I didn't join Walking for Water, but it's not a good scenario that I want to be a part of. And I can definitely say Walking for Water was one of the smarter decisions that I had of joining. And yeah, like similar to what all of you have said, like meeting Susan, it was like Susan has this magical ability to be able to like tell what you're thinking. So like if you're like, yeah, Susan, I'm okay, and you're like really not, she's like, you're not okay, like tell me what's going on. And it's been one of the healthiest communities that I've ever been a part of, because everyone's here because they want to be here and because they want to help and they want to make a difference. And it's been so cool to be a part of a group of teenagers that really want to change the world. And I know that every day I'm a part of Walking for Water, I feel that I'm doing something good in the world, and I get to do it with amazing people, which is just, it's really fun. And I have so much fun doing this club. So I think we kind of answered this, but for those, just to put it blankly, has Walking for Water helped you with your spiritual awakening? And is Walking for Water one of the ways that you take care of yourself spiritually?
I would definitely say yes, because before I joined Walking for Water, I always like heard, I always knew that like there are people who are like impoverished, they live in much worse conditions than I do. And like, I always wanted an outlet to be able to help them, and Walking for Water has been that outlet. And it's definitely opened up a part of my personality that's like giving and more worldly, and like just has made me like a much happier person, I would say, because it's just been like so great. And I mean, especially like last year when we had to adjust with the pandemic and we still raised $35,000, like that was really impressive. And I am very proud of everyone who was involved who did that, because it was amazing. And we got to put in, I think, about three or four wells. I don't know. I don't remember. I'm sorry. But it was really exciting. And it's definitely helped me spiritually, because I love now giving to people. And I always love looking around like anywhere and just being like, I wonder if there's anyone here who I could help. It's like, I just love it so much. And I have Walking for Water to thank for that.
Yeah, I know for me, it's definitely been a way where it's taught me a good way to give, in the sense that I'm not giving because I feel like I need to, but like, in a sense, yes, it's always good to give, but I feel like I'm doing it because I want to, because it makes me feel good. I'm not doing it to prove something to myself or to prove something to other people, but I'm doing it because I want to. And I think that that's a really important lesson that Walking Quad has taught me, is to do stuff that you want to do. Don't just do stuff because you feel like I'm not a good person if I don't do that. But I feel like Walking Quad has really taught me that, like, this is something you want to do. And I feel like whenever you can do something for others that makes you feel good, you're winning. And Walking for Water has, honestly, it's helped me be healthier in all forms of my life. And so I definitely think that Walking for Water has contributed majorly to me taking care of my spiritual self.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I agree. I definitely think, I feel like I touched base on it a little bit, but I definitely think that Walking for Water has helped me spiritually, and I am thankful for that.
Yeah, I think that Walking for Water has helped in my spiritual journey. I don't think it created like a spiritual awakening for me, but I think it made me see things in a different light and look at things differently, just because of the club's morals and our goals. It has made me think of things so differently and made me kind of check in with myself differently and think about what are my morals and what are my beliefs.
I love that. So I think when we all read this question, we all thought, this is a really good question. And it's, where have you failed most when it comes to being spiritual?
It's hard to like admit this stuff because like you never want to admit when you're wrong, but I would definitely say like a thing that's just like spiritual blocker for me is sometimes social media, to where like I'll just be scrolling on around for hours, being lazy, procrastinating, and kind of just staring at a screen. And that does not feel good spiritually at all. And I'm guilty of that like a lot of the time. And it's definitely something that is like, limits my spirituality. And I mean, like, sure, I don't mind using like social media maybe to like look at my friend's post, or like maybe just like to talk to my friends, or just like post myself. But like, when I'm kind of just mindlessly scrolling through, like when I'm bored or something, like it feels like I could be doing something more to improve myself, and that's like what I'm guilty of, I would say.
Yeah, personally, I think that I block emotions is my biggest spiritual like disservice that I do to myself, just because if I'm like at a certain place or something, or even like at home, I just don't allow myself to feel things, just because I prioritize the things that I need to get done. Like, for example, if I feel sad about something, I'll kind of like shove it to the side because I need to finish like a French, you know, homework or whatever. I just like classify it as not the time to cry. But I've been working on it, and it's definitely getting, you know, okay. but I definitely catch myself doing it a lot, and I think that I'm just kind of programmed. I've programmed myself, but because I've programmed myself, I can unprogram myself in the same way. But yeah, that's kind of the biggest thing, just feeling all of the emotions, and even like the happy ones, which is just kind of weird. Sometimes I just don't allow myself to like really take in how amazing something is, just because I'm just kind of like a robot sometimes. It's just kind of scary, but it's just kind of the way that I've been for a bit, but I am working on it.
For me, I think where I've failed spiritually is doubting myself and lacking confidence in myself and telling myself, you can't do this because you're not this, or you shouldn't, you know, believe this or do this because you're not that. I think when I say those things to myself, it creates a negative mindset and a bad atmosphere within my body and my mind. And then those play into my actions. And then I start talking to other people in a negative way. And I think that sometimes when I'm like, okay, wait a minute, why am I saying these negative things to myself? Why am I doubting myself? I have to, something that my mom says a lot is you fail forward. And so I have to kind of say, okay, like this, I'm doubting myself right now. Here's why I shouldn't do that. Here's how I can change my thoughts and then move forward with it. And so, I think it's with me just saying hurtful things to myself or doubting myself. And that's where I fail most. But like Sophie said, I'm working on that.
Yes. And it's a process. I think for me, where I failed most is I kind of have two. One is being extremely hard on myself, and two is watering down my personality. Because for those of you who don't know, I'm extremely hard on myself. Like I hold myself to probably impossible standards, but in my mind, I think they're achievable. So then when I don't achieve them, I'm very upset. And it takes other people saying to me, no, you're okay, you did a good job. I'm like, okay, I did do a good job. But if I ask myself that, I'm like, did you achieve the standards? And if I didn't, then in my mind, I didn't do a good job, which is not very healthy and doesn't make me very happy. So I'm working on it, and I've made a lot of progress, but still not there yet. And my other thing, sometimes I think that my personality is a little too much for people, and they won't like me because of it. So I try to water myself down and filter myself into a mold that people will like better and is more people friendly. And I've tried to not do that as much. But then if people don't really like my true personality as much as my watered down personality, it makes me feel a little upset. Because I'm like, oh, should I have just kept the watered down version of me if that's more likable? But in reality, I like my true personality better, but it's always, I think a little too much and care about what other people think a little too much. But once again, we're working on that. We're getting better. We still got ways to go. So on that happy note, we're actually going to listen to a song that makes me feel happy, that makes Susan feel happy, and I think makes everyone feel happy. So here is Build Me Up Buttercup by The Foundations on KXFM.
Just to let me
So that was Build Me Up Buttercup by The Foundations on KXFM. And we're back. And I wanted to ask you guys this, and this may be kind of a trick question, but who knows? Like, I want to see your answers. Who is the person in your life that most represents spiritual qualities, and have you maximized your relationship with them?
Okay, I would most definitely say my mom, because she is like one of the nicest people I know. She's like so fun and amazing and always outgoing and always friendly and pretty much never mean. Like, sometimes I'll just be like, mom, like, say like this about someone. She'll be like, no. Like, she's just so nice always. And I definitely aim to be that level of nicest, and like, I always aim to be like as like virtuous as she is. But I mean, sometimes I don't want to be, but like a lot of times, like, she's definitely like my role model, and like, she's like so amazing, like always, and just always such an amazing, like, always had such a good personality, always has her hopes and her, what's the right word? She always like has her, I don't know, she's always very nice, and I just really love that about her. And yeah, she's definitely influenced me as a person a lot and my personality a lot. And yeah, people I mean, often say, like, you and your mom are like really good friends together, huh? And I was like, yeah, we really are, because yeah, I definitely say I maximize my relationship with her.
Yeah, for me, it would definitely be Susan. I mean, I'm not even going to sugarcoat it. I think that we are psychic sometimes. I'll be thinking about something and then she'll be thinking the same thing, and we'll literally just like say it. Okay, like, I'll share a story that happened to us like a couple of days ago when I saw her. We were walking down to get food, and there was this sorry, there was this bit of ice cream like on the floor, and it had been spilled. And so we had to both like part and then come together. But as we were doing it, we literally said the same thing. We're like, ew. And we looked at each other and we kept walking. And then we didn't realize, and we're like, we were thinking the same thing. And then we like made the same noise. And then as we were walking back, because we had to walk the same direction, we did it a second time. We didn't even like think about it twice. So I definitely think that she's who I resemble with spiritually, just because we have a different kind of spiritual relationship, and we've kind of been building it for a while now. And I definitely think that spiritually we're very connected, and I have a deep connection with her, and I think that's what makes me even closer to this organization. And I think that's what helps me be, you know, a greater leader and just kind of better myself in every way possible. But yeah, I think Susan, we're spiritually connected.
This question was hard for me. It took me kind of a second to think about who I am really spiritually connected with. And I would say to my sister, who is 2 years younger than me, I feel like your bond with your sibling that you have is like no other. My sister, her name is Olivia, and we don't get along a lot, and we fight a lot, and sometimes it's petty, sometimes it's not petty, but like all siblings do, we fight. But we're always thinking about the same thing. We're always, you know, we have the same kind of things that bother us. We connect on a level that like twins connect on, and it's really weird. We have the same tics. It's just very, very weird. But I guess on that spiritual level, we are so connected. And yeah, I feel like our whole lives, like, we just kind of have thought the same, and our brains are wired differently, but yet our thought processes are so similar.
You see, for this answer, I want to say myself, because I want to say that I represent the spiritual qualities that I think are most important, but that's not always the case. As we said earlier, we're getting there. And I think the person that represents kind of the spiritual qualities that I want to have and the person that I want to be spiritually is one of the practitioners at the church I used to go to. And she's known me my whole life, and she's been there for me when I was not able to be there for myself. And I haven't maximized my relationship with them. And this question made me realize that I need to reach out to her again and be like, hi, I miss you. And, you know, because I feel like those relationships are really important, and I want to be at a place where I can represent the spiritual qualities that I think are most important in myself and be the person that I'm aspire to be. And so I think that, you know, this question's made me realize, Cassidy, you gotta get back in touch with her, because that's how you're gonna reach all those spiritual goals that you have. So thank you, Susan, for this question. This made me remind myself of something. So what practices do you believe would help you most develop your sense of spirituality? To maybe someone who's listening who hasn't kind of reached their spiritual self yet, what do you think is the best place to start?
I would say it's different for a lot of people, but like I would just say start, take it easy. Like maybe like it can be as easy as like taking a few minutes of your day, like maybe 5 minutes, and just like taking a break from everything, like taking some deep breaths. Cause I mean, deep breaths are actually like scientifically proven to like calm your brain down. Maybe like for me, drinking green tea really helps calm my brain down, but like just do something that really calms you down and center yourself and just think about like what you can do to like make yourself feel better, to maybe improve your spirituality. Or it could be something like doing something that you enjoy, like that's also healthy. So like running for me might be like playing volleyball on the beach or something, or just like being out in nature. Like those things are really good spiritually, and it's different for everybody, but I definitely feel like starting at an easy point like that is a really good idea.
Marco, was this caffeinated green tea that you're drinking or non-caffeinated green tea that you're drinking?
I actually don't know, but we'll just go with green tea.
All right. No, I definitely think that if you'd like to start somewhere, you need to learn to be yourself, and you need to know who you are when you're being authentic. And I know that Cassidy, before you were talking about putting yourself into a mold and putting filters, you know, over your personality. Definitely when you're starting your spiritual journey, wherever you may want to begin, the first step, in my opinion, would be to get to know yourself when you're truly just being yourself, because that will allow you to dig deeper, and that will allow you to begin your spiritual journey in the sense that you know what your body is going to need, what your soul needs. Are you tending to your emotions? You know, when you're being yourself, like, is there something that's tugging you one way more than the other? Is there, like, you know, is there a reason why you feel this way, even though, you know, no one's around you? Like, are you being different when people are around you and stuff like that? I think that's probably the first step that I would advise somebody to take on their spiritual journey, just because I think that it's going to help them develop a relationship with their soul and a relationship with who they are currently, even if that's not who they want to be. I think that if they want to better themselves in any way, I think first they need to get to know who they are right now, because maybe the things that they don't like about themselves are the best parts of themselves. They just need a different perspective, or maybe just different kind of atmosphere of acceptance that they haven't had before. So yeah, that would probably be my first.
I feel like I agree with Sophie. I mean, I think you really need to kind of just let go and be yourself and stop caring about what other people think of you, because for me, I used to compare myself a lot to other people and be like, oh, well, you know, in terms of like achievements and in terms of like the way other people look and stuff like that. And I would be like, you know, oh, I need to be doing X, Y, and Z to, you know, have a good life and to have this and to have that. And I think it's like, no, just, I think you need to stop caring about A, what other people think about yourself, and B, stop comparing yourself to other people. I read the book, I forget what it's called, but I think it's, I think it's called The Secret of Letting Go. And one of the things it said was, you can't measure, like, if you are trying to achieve happiness, because I think a lot of people think of achieving happiness when they think of, like, achieving spirituality and, like, self-actualization. But when you have that stigma in your head, when you have those thoughts in your head about achieving happiness, that only means that you're unhappy. And I feel like after reading that, I was like, oh, like, I'm trying to set these unrealistic goals for myself to, you know, oh, let's try to be the best version of myself by doing X, Y, and Z. And, like, you know, saying, no, I think that I need to just live my life, stop caring about what other people think about me, and stop comparing myself to others, and try to love myself for who I am. And through that, and through the past few months, I have caught myself being like, wow, I actually really like myself. I really love myself. And so, yeah, I think the key to that is to just stop caring what other people think about you and live your own life.
Yes,
I'm going to. Yeah, I really like that. And also, I just wanted to say that reading's another really good start for spirituality, because Haley just gave me an idea. I really like it.
Yeah, I'm going to echo on that. And I think the first step is also the step that I'm on, and that's just learning to love yourself and being authentic. And honestly, I don't think there's really steps. It's just, it's a process. And every day, it's just, you know, every day you're learning. And I think that that's what's really important, is every day you're learning and every day you're trying to be your best self. And whatever that looks like, my mom always tells me, like, she's like, just do your best. It can be, your best can be, you know, just getting through the day, or your best can be exceeding in everything. And that's great. Just do your best. And so I think that that's kind of the first step, is learning that your best is enough and appreciating yourself for doing your best every day. So I think that's my opinion of what the first step is, or the first start to it would be. So what are the qualities that you most need to grow into to feel spiritually whole? I kind of talked about this, but if there was one quality that you needed to grow more of, what would it be?
Oh no, go ahead. You can go. It's fine.
Oh, no, you can go, because I'm still, like, percolating on that.
Yeah. The quality, I would say honesty. I think that is prime. That is probably the best thing ever. For me, honesty is a big thing. And so when I catch myself lying, I think that it spiritually hurts me. I also lie to myself a lot, which is even more difficult, but I think that over the past year or so, I have stopped doing that, and I have been honest with myself and been honest with what I need, and been honest in, you know, no longer deflecting my emotions on other people, and no longer being aggressive towards certain humans because of what other people have been doing, even though I still do it a fair amount. I do think that honesty is probably one of the best qualities to grow to become spiritually whole, because that way there are no lies in your life, and those lies can become holes in between, you know, in your soul and your body and your spiritual self. I think that it could burn holes in you, and just, you know, in order to fill them, you do other unhealthy things. And I think that honesty is just the best way to go.
Yeah, like Cassie kind of touched base on this, but like, and it's kind of a quality, but I would say maintaining a good balance is really important, because, like, for me, like, I like to feel emotionally balanced and level-headed, and, like, I like to, like, for example, if there's also like a problem, like, I like to look at it from like many different perspectives so I can get like a really good idea of what's going on and maybe just like feel sympathy for every side. But like, yeah, like staying balanced emotionally is just really important for me, which I've learned to do. Like, I mean, for example, if I'm sad, like, and I just want to cry, like, I'll cry. Like, if I haven't done that in a while, then it's just like, I think it's a healthy thing to do. Like, I definitely think like maintaining a good balance like that is always good. And I mean, good, it's like good to be always happy, but at the same time, like, that happiness may not always be like as genuine as you think. So that's why you need to always like look into all your emotions and maintain that balance. Or, I mean, great, if it's great if you have like good genuine happiness, but still always keeping all your emotions kind of like balance is definitely something that I would say is a great quality that would help with spirituality within yourself.
I think for me, it's awareness, being aware of two things. One, your thoughts and what you're saying to yourself. I kind of talked about this a little bit earlier. What you say to yourself affects your day, it affects your life. And two, being aware of who you surround yourself with, because just like your thoughts, they affect your day, how you think about yourself and your life. And I've had to learn the hard way in the past few years that who you surround yourself who you surround yourself with matters, and how they talk to you, it matters, and it affects you, and it affected me. And so I think being aware of your friends and your family and how they're impacting your life is so important with your spirituality and being connected with yourself.
I think for me, the quality is forgiveness for myself and for other people. I know that's the quality I need to grow a little more into, is have a little more forgiveness for everyone, myself included. So everyone, we have sadly reached the end, but don't worry, we won't leave you without another song. And this is a song that, please sing to it if you're listening to it, because I think everyone knows the lyrics to this song. If you don't, then I think you've been living under a rock. So here is Sweet Caroline by Neil Diamond on KXFM.
Where it began, I can't begin to knowing. But then I know it's growing strong. Wasn't the spring, and spring became the summer. Who'd have believed you'd come along? Hands, touching hands, reaching out, touching me, touching you. And it don't seem so lonely. We fill it up with only two. And when I hurt, hurting runs off my shoulders. How can I hurt when holding you? Touching warm, reaching out, touching me, touching you. Sweet Caroline, good times never seem so good.
that was Sweet Caroline by Neil Diamond on KXFM. And before we say goodbye, Marco, Haley, Sophie, any last words for all the listeners?
Just thank you so much. And please go to wisdomspring.org/virtual to sign up for our walk. And yeah, help us in any way that you can.
Yeah. Thank you so much for listening. I hope you guys enjoyed this show as much as we did. And of course, as Sophie said, visit wisdomspring.org/virtual. And if you have any time and you like want to feel like spiritual, you just want to like maybe learn about something that's a little bit outside your area, but is like happening in the world, check out our Walking for Water page at wisdomspring.org, because it's just definitely an issue that needs to be addressed, and we're trying everything we can to help. And it'd be great if you could just learn about like what's going on over where we help people get water and why they need water and what they have to do to get water without the wells that we put in. So just go ahead and check that out. And thank you so much again.
Yeah, thank you guys for listening. And like Marco and Sophie said, please go visit wisdomspring.org and sign up for the virtual walk on June 19th and 20th if you haven't done so already. You don't know how much you'll be giving back to our organization, and it means a lot. So just thanks again for listening.
Thank you all for listening to Walking for Water Teen Action. For more information about our mission and how you can help, please go to wisdomspring.org. And if you want to sign up for our virtual walk on June 19th and 20th, go to wisdomspring.org/virtual. We'll see you all soon. Thank you so much.